Mind Food Radio, smart thinking with Michael McHugh.
Well, welcome to Mind Food Radio, and today on the show we have Yasmin Newman, who I met a few years ago, and she has created the most beautiful cookbook. I think it's one of my favourite cookbooks of the season, actually, which is a big call because we get many cookbooks into the Mind Food office. It's called 7,000 Islands Cookbook, and welcome to the show, Yasmin.
Oh, thank you so much for having me and for that compliment. It's really so sweet and touching.
Well, it is a really beautiful cookbook. I have to say I've made nothing from it yet. I've only had it on my desk for a few weeks. But the interesting thing, I think this potentially could be the first cookbook, well, it certainly is for me, that I've seen about the Philippines.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the kind of motivators for writing the book. I mean, there have been a few other kind of self-published numbers in Australia, but I suppose this is the first book, distributed by a large a publisher in Australia, and one that is so comprehensive and I think, like you said, kind of beautifully packaged as well. I mean, really considering, you know, our love of Southeast Asia and our obsession with the food, you know, so little is known about the Philippines, and that really kind of intrigued and kind of irked me, you know, as a half Filipino over the years. You know, why didn't people know more about this beautiful country that's not so far from our shores and just has so much to offer people in terms of its food and its culture?
What are some of the cultural influences with Filipino food?
Well, that was something I really tried to kind of infuse into the book. So I think once you understand the cultural, or as I put them, the historical influences that have shaped the country, you really get to know or understand, you know, why the food and the country has kind of played out the way that it has. So I suppose the major, you know, influences have been the Spanish, who came in the 1600s and colonized the country for about 350 years. So that influence was huge, both in the language and the style of the food and in the art. I mean, you can see it kind of all throughout the country. And through the Spanish influence was a huge Mexican influence, which actually Filipinos themselves don't even know that so much because it was hidden under the cloak of, you know, the Spanish. But a lot of the produce that came into the country was by way, you know, of Mexico, and a relationship between the two countries developed. There's also a huge Chinese influence. I mean, the oldest Chinatown in the world, Binondo, is actually in the Philippines, in the capital of Manila, which, again, few people know that little interesting tidbit. And obviously, there was also the American influence. So there are the American-Spanish wars in the late 1800s, and, you know, America won, and the Philippines was ceded to them, along with Puerto Rico. So for about 50 years, up until the end of World War II, when they gained complete independence, America kind of governed them, but with a program of eventual self-governance. So, you know, you'll see all these interesting influences through the food, these kind of, early 20th century kind of Betty Crocker-style cakes, you know, large chiffon, iced with Italian meringue-style cakes, but with these intriguing native ingredients like ube, which is a purple yam, or makapuno, which is like this kind of variety of coconut, which they preserve in a sweet syrup. It's just divine.
I've had that before when I was there, and it's so sweet. To a Western taste bud, it's quite different. But it's funny. Once I'd had it, and you eat more of it, it is actually quite addictive, isn't it?
Is that the makapuno, or do you find the cuisine overall?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They actually call it a mutant coconut because the flesh, instead of there being kind of a vacant kind of space within the shell, the flesh goes all the way to the centre and has a kind of a more springy consistency. But, yeah, I'm like you. I like it in small amounts, but it's definitely addictive.
Yeah. And tell me, in terms of a home cook here in Australia and New Zealand, what sort of pantry items would we have or would we need to really, you know, cook Filipino food?
You know, what's really lucky about, Filipino food, and I think it's kind of, you know, reflective of where we are, you know, in Australian society in terms of the availability of all these ingredients, because we've had such an influence from Southeast Asia. And, you know, we're familiar with Spanish cooking and obviously American as well. A lot of the ingredients you need for Filipino food are really readily available just even from the supermarket or greengrocer. Yeah. You know, I would say a large portion of the dishes, you don't even actually need you can just get from the supermarket all the ingredients. But, you know, for some of the other dishes which have some of those native ingredients, you can just go to a Filipino food store. And surprisingly, they're everywhere because there are Filipinos all over Australia, quite large yeah. communities of them. So, you know, a quick Google search will, I think, you know, lead you, especially if you're in metropolitan areas, to, you know, a local Filipino food store, and you can get, you know, a lot of kind of canned or frozen, you know, products that are a really good quality. I suppose the only product or only ingredient that is really hard to kind of get your hands on, but I hear it's kind of being grown more and more, is their native citrus, which is called calamansi. And it looks somewhat like a kumquat. It's a bit smaller and it's green. And has a different taste, but it's so unique, and that's kind of used throughout the cuisine as a Salsawan, which is, you know, a dipping sauce or kind of a squirt to finish off a dish. But, you know, a mix of lemon or lime or one or the other will really kind of give you that sensation of sourness that Filipinos really love.
Mm. Now tell me, how long did it take you to research the book?
A long time, but not because so long through. I didn't have long.
It really is quite in-depth. This is the thing, and you know, this is not a cookbook that's just sort of, you know, knocked out because the publisher says, oh, quick, we need a Filipino cookbook. It's you can tell there's been a lot of thought and effort and time taken, you know, to create this.
Oh, that's really good to hear that is, you know, reflected. Yeah, I mean, I was really lucky, but when I got the cookbook deal, I had already done a lot of the legwork for it, and had I not done that previously, I would never have been able to write it in the time frame. And I had about 3 months to actually turn around, you know, a 350-page manuscript, you know, with over 100 recipes. But, you know, I had spent about 3 years up to that point researching cuisine, you know, and that involved countless trips over there. I mean, the actual idea for the book started back in 2009, and I kind of decided to take this food sabbatical to explore, you know, the land of my mother through its food. And you know, during that trip, I met a lot of, you know, local food ambassadors who, you know, inspired me to help share the Filipino food story. And, you know, got to go into lots of communities and kitchens in different regions and really get a kind of a broad-ranging understanding of the food, and, you know, obviously got to eat it all as well, which is one of the perks of the job.
Tell me, are there any iconic dishes that, you know, you yourself absolutely love?
Yeah, I mean, gosh, when I asked that question, you know, so many spring to mind because I'm so familiar with the cuisine. But I suppose the iconic ones that, you know, the country is known for, and ones that I think are really great as starting points for, you know, Filipino food, would have to be adobo. That's their national dish, and it's, you know, it's a vinegar braise essentially, and it's usually with chicken or pork or a mixture of both, and they'll use native vinegars made out of, you know, sugar cane or nipa palm or coconut, and they'll mix it with some soy sauce, some garlic, lots of salt and pepper, and they'll just slowly cook that, depending on the meat, but, you know, until it's nice and soft and tender, and the sauce kind of reduces into this kind of sour saltiness that's really addictive. And, you know, any kind of, you know, Australian friends that I've put that to, they just, you know, can't get enough of it. And I think what's great about that dish is that it's familiar in the sense that we're familiar with some of those, you know, Chinese kind of vinegar or braises, but it's different and unique and interesting in that the vinegar's used and the way it's been put together is quite different as well. So that's a really great dish to try.
What sort of flavours are infused in that? Like, is it a different combination of herbs or...?
No, I mean, Filipino food in general is kind of light on herbs compared to, say, Thai or Vietnamese food, especially those fresh herbs. It's really the nature of the vinegar. When you try the native vinegars, and again, I'm kind of mentioning the sugar cane and the nipa palm and the coconut, they just have such a different flavour profile to the vinegars that we're familiar with, you know, out of Europe or locally made here. And I think it's the nature of those flavours of vinegars that have made sourness such a heart of Filipino food. So that's something that you can get from a Filipino food store. I mean, in my opinion, the renditions here aren't as great as what you can get in the Philippines, but they'll still kind of give you a snapshot of what you can kind of expect in those flavours. And I think it's also the proportions. You know, it's not just a use of vinegar and soy sauce and garlic, but it's I suppose, the ratio of how they put them together that makes a difference. And I suppose that's cooking. You know, you can have so many dishes with the same ingredients but put together in yeah. different ways.
Mm. Well, Yasmin, congratulations. It's an absolutely beautiful book. I just think it's beautiful and I wish you all the success with it.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
So for more details and for some delicious recipes from the book, go to mindfood.com.
Mind Food Radio. Smart thinking with Michael McHugh.